Congregation, with the help of the Lord, I preach the word of God this evening from the scripture part that we have been reading from Luke 15. I read one verse especially as text verse for the sermon, verse 20. Luke 15, verse 20, where we read a holy, infallible word of the Lord. And he arose and came to his father, but when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He also used the Heidelberg Catechism, like we have been reading from Lord's Day 13, question and answer 33. The theme for the sermon is Children of God by Grace. Children of God by Grace. Congregation, I remember that I read a story. I like to read as a boy. I hope you like to read. It's good to, when you read, because scripture is a book. So yeah, you have to learn to read. And maybe you think, well, it's easier to watch images, but you can see a lot when you read. And that's good, that you can imagine the things that you read, although there's not a picture. It's such a wonderful thing if the Lord is showing us things from his word to our heart. Well, I remember when I was a boy that I read about a man who was lost in the desert, in the wilderness. And then he was so thirsty, he thought he would die. But then all of a sudden he saw there at a far distance, he saw a beautiful place, palm trees. So there must be water. Oh, how exciting to see that. So he fastened his walk to come there. He never came there. He never came there because it was not real. It was a mirage. So something that seems to be there, but wasn't really there. Because of his weakness, because of the hot air, he saw it. And he thought it was real. It wasn't. So he was walking to get something that didn't exist. He would never come there. That's terrible. It looked like paradise. But he still was in that burning sand, under the burning sun, thirsty, suffering. Isn't that a picture of what it is to be in this world without God, in all our restlessness? We think that we will find a place that is like paradise. There must be somewhere in life a situation of joy, pure and full. Maybe if I do this, maybe if I go that direction, we can have that experience, that deep restlessness inside. I should do this. I should go there. I should become like so and so. And yeah, we do not find it. We can understand that a desire is in our heart because we have lost it. We are created for it. We are created for paradise. We have lost paradise. That most beautiful place on earth, in that full communion, fellowship with God daily, that harmony between each other, that joy about the perfect creation of God, we've lost it. We have been sent away out of it. Well, we didn't lose it by accident, no, willfully. We sinned it away, and now there's such an emptiness in our hearts, and we try to find it, and we think we will, but we never do. If we do not find Christ, if we do not find in him what our heart needs. We have lost paradise. We did it willfully. We've sinned against God. Oh, what a terrible thing. You can cry about it, I hope you do. That's reality, that's our situation. But there is a way back, prepared by God, prepared by Christ, to be received by God, to be restored in that relation with our Creator, to be His children. What is the way back? The way back is by Christ. It's so clear in Scripture. He says, I am the way. A child can understand that. If you want to go somewhere, you need a way to come there. How could you otherwise go there? Well, there is a way to be restored in that relation to our Creator, and that is Christ. I am the way. So we need Christ. We need to know Him. How can you know Him? You can know Him by the Word. But, well, many people that know the Word do not know Christ. Isn't that true? You're right. This morning we heard about that leper. He was not the only one living in that time. There were many people living. Many that really saw Christ. But it is written, he saw Jesus and he fell on his face. So he did see Christ in a different way than others did. So yeah, you can know your Bible and still not know Christ. That's a terrible thought, that is reality, that it is real, that is true. So, why? What is the reason? Christ says, I am the way. He is revealed in the Word. It's clearly described how He was to come, and how He really came, and what He did on earth, and how He died and resurrected and ascended to heaven. Yeah, we know it. And now to know Him in a personal way by a living faith. And that is something different. That's more than an historical faith. It's a saving faith. It's that our heart is inclined to fall on our face. Literally. Or at least inwardly. That surrendering to Him, to be helped in our need, that inclination of the heart is the work of the Holy Spirit. And then you know Him in a way that we need to know Him, and that is so special, in a saving way. Then we are related to Him by a living faith, connected to Him. Well, we can say then we are in Him. We will be received by Him, belong to Him. He will touch us with His hand and heal us from our sin and forgive us. Then we are a child of God in the deepest meaning of the word. Now there's a question. In the Heidelberg Catechism, why is Christ called the only begotten Son of God? The only begotten Son of God. Since we are also the children of God. So here you can say the Heidelberg Catechism is a confession of faith. Here is a believer talking. We are the children of God. But why do we say that Christ is the only begotten Son of God? There are so many that are saved by the work of Christ. It is a multitude that nobody can count. Although at the same time it's true that there are many going away their own way, and that the way of the world is wide. It's easy to continue in your old sinful way of life, and a few walking on that narrow way to be saved by Christ, to fight the fight of faith. Well, although it says, well, compared to the many that walk on the wide way, road, and a few on the narrow one, it's still true that Scripture is teaching us it's a multitude that nobody can count. And yes, they are children of God. So why do we say that Christ is called the only begotten Son of God, since we are also the children of God? What a wonderful thing to be a child of God, a dear child of God. Yeah, do you understand that? I mean by experience, that miracle that God received you by grace for Christ's sake. Well, we will talk more about that. But now the answer to that question. Why is it that Christ is called the only begotten Son of God? And the answer says, because Christ alone is the eternal and natural Son of God. He is the eternal and natural Son of God. So he is the eternal Son of God. What is that eternity? Well, that is without beginning and without end. We cannot comprehend it. We always think in time. We have our watch and we think in time. But God is not bound to time. He is the eternal one. And Christ is eternal. He is the eternal Son of God. Before anything was created of this world, Christ was there. He has been there for eternity, as long as the Father, without beginning and without end. He is God. He is eternal and he is the natural Son of God. So the natural Son of God, you can say, well, he has the same nature as the Father. He is really God, almighty, omnipresent, all-knowing. He's God. He is the natural Son of God. It's hard for us because when we think about a Father and a Son, we think, well, okay, the Father is first. And then at a certain point of time, the Son is born. And that's not true with the Father and the Son of God. No, the Son has been there all the time. Yeah, Son is also a term that is used in Scripture for to say that you are very close to. If it's said son of the devil, child of the devil, very close to, or son of death, a person that is gonna die, will die. So it's an expression to say very close to, very near to. And I have a way that I, for myself, try to understand something of this wonderful relation in the Trinity between the Father and the Son. And I know any illustration is limited, not perfect. But it helps me when I think about the sun shining on earth. That we see the sun in heaven And we know it's there. It's huge. It's amazing what there is in the sun. What a power, what a heat, what a light it gives. If you think about the sun, and if you think about the light that is coming from the sun, they belong together. You cannot separate the two, can you? And where, as long as the sun has been there, there's always been the light coming from the sun. So that's the way that I think and understand something about that relation of the Father and the Son. It says in one of our confessions that He is generated from eternity by the Father, although He is without beginning. So the Son, you could say, is generating light, sending it out. And Christ is the Word of God, by whom all things are created. Oh, how great is God! I feel like stammering about God. God is so amazing, so unspeakable, great. We are so small. How could we ever understand God? But we have to know certain things about Him that are taught by the Word. Christ is the eternal and natural Son of God. He has always been there, so closely related to the Father. And He has the same nature. He's God. He can do anything. Scripture is teaching us that. We think about John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Christ is the Word. The Word that became flesh, incarnation. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, the same nature as the Father. Or Hebrews 1, the second verse, that God in these last days had spoken unto us by His Son, whom He hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also He made the worlds. The worlds. By the way, why is that word plural? Did God create more worlds? Well, it's interesting to see that in the Dutch translation, it doesn't have the plural. It has a singular. So it says world. But if you look into the Greek, it has a word that means the ages. So you can understand it like the ages of world history. So in fact, in the Greek, it's plural, ages. And that's how we can understand it. God has created this world with all its ages of history. You could say the worlds. In a certain way, this world is different from the world in the medieval area of time. God has created it. He is in control. And He created it by Christ, by the word of His power. He was speaking, and it came to existence. That is why we say that Christ is the only begotten Son of God. So what is a practical consequence, lesson, you could say, of this teaching of Scripture? That we have to know and to remember that Christ is different from us. He is a Son of God, and if you know Him by faith, you are a child of God. And still there's such a difference, and we have to remember that. It's a wonderful thing that we are commanded and allowed to speak to God in the name of Christ, to speak to Christ, that intercessor. But we should never speak to Him in a way as if He is the same as we are. As if He is just a friend that you meet on the street. No, He's God. So he came very near becoming man. He is a merciful high priest. Never forget it. So that there will be the boldness and the freedom in your heart to draw near to him, to come in all your need and weakness and sin to be helped. But at the same time, oh, let there be in our heart a deep reverence. He's God. Christ, the natural Son of God, the eternal Son of God. But we are different. We are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. So in creation, God created man, and in that way you could say we are created as children of God, his handiwork. He created us to live in a very close relation to God, but we have broken that relation. So that the Lord Jesus says to the Jews, Abraham is not your father. The devil is your father. You do the works of the devil. You are closely related to him. And if you would be children of Abraham, you would do the works of Abraham. So because of our fall in sin, we've broken the relation to God and chosen to obey and believe the devil and sin against God. And now here it says, but we are children adopted of God. God has given a way that such people could be received again by God, embraced in his unspeakable love. We are children adopted of God. Yeah, what a wonderful thing, adopted of God. We know what it means, adoption, isn't it? A child in need, a child that could die, perish, have no future. To adopt it, show love, take care, provide. Don't know how it is here, but in the Netherlands cost a lot of money, probably here also, to do that. Oh, what a price God has paid to adopt men, women, children, human beings, to be his children. The price of the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ is paid for it. We are children adopted of God by grace for his sake, for Christ's sake. Let us sing before we continue. Let us sing Psalter 2, 78, stanza 1 till 5. 2, 78, stanza 1, the tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. 278, stanza 1 till 5. But we are children of God, adopted of God by grace for His sake. Children created by God, broken that relation, thrown ourselves in darkness and in death, so far away from God, like we read in this parable of the prodigal son. We could better say the parable of the two sons. And once it happened that I was in a meeting with some pastors, and they said, well, you know, that prodigal son, that is not to be found within the church. I disagreed. And I don't think you're right. Oh, we can be gone astray so far from God in our hearts, isn't it? While we are in church, that we have chosen to go our own way in the world, to enjoy the things of the flesh like this young son did. Father, give me the portion of goods that followed to me. He wanted to be in control. That's something that we recognize. I want to do my own thing. I want to be my own boss. Someone told me recently, I knew someone who was honest about it and said, I am my own God. I make my own decisions. I do my own thing. That's the sin of paradise, and is rooted very deep in our hearts. And here it's coming out in the life of this younger son. Father, give me the portion of goods that follow to me. And the father did. He saw, I cannot stop this boy. There must be another way that he will be stopped. I have to let him go. Oh, to get him back. And he did. Is there a younger son here in church? You're ready to take it in your own hand? That feels like life, isn't it? You think the sun did never shine so bright as it did that day that sun, yeah, could leave. Free! Live my own life! A bag of money! What else would you want? That's life, that's freedom, everything to enjoy in this world. And he did. He enjoyed himself with friends for his flesh. Yeah, that's something that is in our heart. It's grace. The Lord is keeping us from living out what is within. Not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, far away from his father. How far did we go astray from God? Unspeakable. We can never bridge that gap. When we fell away from God in sin, he went far away. Thought, this is life. No father to control me. No father to say, do this and don't do that. I can make my own decisions. That's what I want. I want to be independent. I want to live my own life. That sounds good. And there he goes. He wastes his substance. He had spent all there. Yeah. So yeah, there is some nice things to enjoy in world. There are some nice things to enjoy in life. Pleasure of sin feels good, does it not? There are so many things in this world that we really get pleasure out. For a certain time. Doesn't last long. Be careful. Yeah, it's good to enjoy the things that God is giving, but never forget that there will be a day of judgment. And it will be soon. So we have to seek the Lord first. But he didn't do that. So then there came a mighty famine in that land, and he began to be in want. And that will be soon. Remember Ecclesiastes, last chapter. There will be a time that there's no lust. Seek the Lord, no desire anymore. There will be a time that sin will not give you the pleasure that you get in it. Well, you are in the strength of your life, or yeah. So there came a great famine. He began to be in want. He lacked what he needed. So now he better return to his father. He didn't do that. No, he tries to help himself. He went and joined himself to a citizen of that country. Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to work. I work myself out of this situation. I can do it. I'm going to make it. And so he has to take care of the swine. And he would fain have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat. And no man gave unto him. How low does sin bring us? He wanted to eat the food of the swine. He even didn't have that. Yeah, that's the result of sin. That's the result of sin. Think about it. So yeah, terrible. There he is. And when he came to himself, that was a time of the Lord. He came to himself. Then he started to think. Then he saw how he was. Then he saw what he had done. Then he saw how his father was and what he could have from his father. When he came to himself, we have to come to ourselves, to be honest about ourselves, to acknowledge how we are and what we have done against God. Oh, he tried to escape, but he couldn't. And I pray that none of us would escape, that we all will come, or did come, to ourselves. And then he thought, start to think, how unreasonable is sin. And then he thought, how many hired servants of my father's have bread enough and to spare, and I perish with hunger. Yeah. So then he saw the goodness of his father. How good is God? Oh, what a sin. What a foolishness that we do not see it, that we neglect him, ignore him, and live as if he does not exist. Well, everything we have is received from God. What do you have that you didn't receive? It's a gift of God. Your property, your strength, your talents, it's all received from God. And we take it for granted. And we use it for sin. Not according to the word, by nature. And we turn away, we turn our backs. We have done that in sin, and we continue to do that. Turn away from God. There's a change now. I will arise and go to my father, and will say unto him, Father, I've sinned against heaven and before thee. Conversion. I will arise, go to my father, to come to yourself, to turn to the Lord. That's the thing that is needed. Conversion, repentance. I have sinned against heaven and before thee, and am no more worthy to be called. Do you remember that leper falling on his face? If thou wilt, unworthy. I am no more worthy to be called thy son. We need grace. There's nothing that I can offer the Lord, no merits at my side. Make me as one of thy hired servants. And he arose and came to his father. And that's scaring, isn't it? to return to someone that you have hurt. He must have hurt, he did hurt his father deeply. What would his father say? Oh, how long do you close your mouth because of shame and fear, because of sin and guilt? Think, oh, I cannot return to God. It's too bad in my life. I lack everything. There's no other way. And God is receiving sinners. Look what his father does. But when he was yet a great way off, his father saw him. Oh, this shows the love of his father. Looking for his son. There is that love that is drawing that son home. He knew the love. He had experienced it for so many years. And there it is. The father is seeing him while he's still a great way off. How far are you away from God? Is there anybody that says it's too far? No, that is not true. That is a lie of the devil. While he was a great way off, his father saw him and was angry and and had compassion. We do not have to move God inwardly to compassion. He has it. He has shown it in Christ, sending his son to a world lost in sin. Is there any more powerful way to show it? That's how God is. We've hurt him so deeply. And we are so far away. But father saw him and had compassion and ran. You see that old father running and ran and fell on his neck. Do you doubt the willingness of God to save a mean, dirty, filthy, guilty sinner? He ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. He didn't say, okay, there you are. Well, change your clothes. No. He fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said unto him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight. I'm no more worthy to be called thy son. It's the attitude of repentance. It's the work of the Spirit. It's where we get light about how we are and how God is. This will be in our heart. This is what the Spirit is working. No more worthy to be called thy son. Yeah, he planned to say, make me like one of thy servants. But there's no way to say that. There's no way to say that. Well, his father was kissing him, embracing him. So listen. But we are children adopted of God by grace for his sake. There it is. That's what the Catechism is teaching us. That's what Scripture is teaching us. There's no other way. Grace means it's undeserved. We are unworthy. There are no merits at our sight. It's impossible from our sight. Oh, you say, can that be possible for me? I doubt it. I have so much unbelief in my heart. Well, the father made it so clear to this son. The father said to his servants, bring forth the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and shoes on his feet. Bring hither a fatted calf and kill it and let us eat and be merry. Is God not making it clear in his word? And child of God, might be that you have a dark time. God is not to be blamed for that. How much did he give in your life? How much has he done already? Remember that ring on your hand. How he has given you a new robe, the best robe. Remember those shoes on your feet. He gave everything you needed to walk in his ways, and that it could be seen that you are received by grace to be a son. Oh, there will be joy there. A fatted calf will be slaughtered. There is joy in heaven about one sinner repenting, converting, returning to the Lord. Oh yeah, there was another son, his oldest son. That boy lived a good life. So you have people in church that have gone astray in their heart, chosen to serve the world, although there's an outward religion. Maybe because of people around them, maybe to quiet their conscience. But in the heart, they love sin, they serve sin, they've chosen to live in sin. Also, there's another son. And this son, well, he thinks he's a mighty good son. He served his father so faithfully. He's much better than the other one. So here's someone trusting in works. And oh, look how pride it makes us when we do that. When we trust in our works, what we perform. This son is angry when he hears what his father is doing. He wouldn't go in. The bad boy came home, and now there's a feast for him. What about me? I'm so faithful and served all those years. And then the father comes out. Someone here, trusting in his works, deep pride in the heart. I lived a life that no one can say anything wrong about. Nobody can blame me about anything in my life. I did it perfectly. You feel proud about it. Oh, that's how this older son feels. He wouldn't go in. Be careful. Pride is a hindrance to go in. But look what happens. God is coming out tonight to you by his word, talking, speaking, preaching to you. His father came out to this angry son and entreated him. And he said to his father, "Lo, these many years do I serve thee, neither transgressed I at any time thy commandment." Wonderful. Wouldn't you like to have such a son? Yeah, we will be thankful about that. But he is outside. There inside in the house is light and joy. There is abundance. But there on a rock is his son sitting outside, angry. And he behaves so well. But his heart is so bad. That's possible in church. What a danger. What a foolishness. I never got anything. They always feel like others do them wrong. God is not treating them right. They deserve to get more. They're proud. And yeah, they have a hard time to see people receiving grace, what they do so well. You know what the father says when he said, "I never got anything"? The father says, "Well, everything is yours. Everything that I have." He didn't live that way. He didn't live like a child. He lived like a servant. What a danger. What a poor life. It was me that we should make merry and be glad. Are you a child or a servant? Servants write down because they want to be paid. Children serve by love. They forget about it. In the day of days, they will say, "Well, when did I do that? When did I visit in jail, in prison, and give water to drink and clothes?" Can't remember. It came from the heart. Oh, what a difference. Oh, what a danger to be caught in self-righteousness. And how deeply this son hurts his father. Oh yeah, that son, that prodigal son inside, and this older son outside. What will it be in the day of days if those that have been preached to in jail will enter heaven, and we that could sit in church to listen to the words would be outside? My heart is trembling when I think about that. Oh, if you say, well, I am that oldest son, having that pride, then you don't know grace. You do not really know it. You do not understand it, what it means for his sake, because I am nothing. It should all come from Christ. Then you are in deep misery. Oh, then you are in great need. Lay it before the Lord, that proud heart and that foolish self-righteousness, so that he will take it away, or that he will make you cast it away like Paul did, to be received by grace, to be adopted by this Heavenly Father for Christ's sake. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, work in our hearts. What a loving Father in heaven, to give his only begotten Son to adopt children. Lord, teach us to be loving parents, to love our children. Oh, we cannot do it the way thou art doing it, O Lord, but thou can help us show thy love, to love them, O Lord, like thou art loving sinners. And we all are fallen in sin, we and our children. We all needed grace. Oh, that they will see an example of that fear of the Lord in our lives. Lord, bless thy word, forgive everything that was not to the mind, according to the mind of the Spirit. We need grace. Oh Lord, we need to see how good thou art, and how deeply we have sinned against thee, so that we will not go astray our own way, but that we will return day by day. We pray, Lord, be with us in this week. Oh, protect us when we return home. We pray to be with the youth group when there will be a gathering, singing, O Lord, reading, praying, that I would bless it to the hearts. O, keep us from sin, from the temptations of the world, the attacks of Satan, that we will hide in Christ, to be in him, to know grace, to know what it means for his sake, because of what he has done, not because of what I have done. Lord, take away everything that we want to rest in outside of Christ, so that we will enter that feast, that abundance of heaven, to see him like he is, our oldest brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, work in all hearts that living faith, that saving faith. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.